And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Now getting a very late start on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, 12 minutes after midnight here. And welcome to program 119 of the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious and very effervescent Lisa Wolf. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carl.
And then our producer is here, Elif Garris. She's in the booth. Hi, Elif.
Hi, Carl and Lisa.
Hi, Elif.
And in this hour, we have two. Well, in this hour, it's The Shadow. And then in our next hour, we'll play My Favorite Husband. We have Halloween shows all the way throughout the month of October. So we're going to start things off Orson Welles as The Shadow, then Lucille Ball stars in My Favorite Husband. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the adventure Passengers, about a spacecraft that has a malfunction in its sleep chambers, and two passengers are awakened 90 years early.
Yeah. Mm. I actually saw the trailer for this.
Yeah, it looks very, really interesting.
Very good,
and
yeah.
And the winner of this contest gets a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
All right, here's a hint. This actress was the star of Joy.
You said to me that David Selznick, the son of immigrants, married Jennifer Jones, an all-American girl from Oklahoma.
All right, if you know who that actress is, call us right now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can win a Lou Malnati's pizza. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you for waiting for us. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
You said to me that David Selznick, the son of immigrants, married Jennifer Jones, an all-American girl from Oklahoma.
And we've got Tommy on the line from Chicago. Hey, Tommy.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Just fine. I believe the actress in question is the wonderful Jennifer Lawrence.
She is wonderful. And you are wonderful because you got the right answer.
I'd date her.
We're so excited. Jennifer Lawrence is right. Carl would date her. I assume Tommy would date her. Maybe even Elif would date her. I don't know. But you have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Check them out at loumalnati's.com and visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Thank you for waiting with us, and we hope that you'll enjoy the rest of the show with us, Tommy.
Thank you so
Take
much.
Care.
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it. All right. It's time for Classic Radio. We are into our Halloween programming. We have Halloween programming all the way through the end of October, and it's time for The Shadow. It's one of the most popular mystery detective shows of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. It began in 1937 with Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. Agnes Moorehead, you know her as Endora from Bewitched. She was the lovely Margot Lane, and he had the secret of invisibility. He could cloud men's minds so they could not see him, and he used this power to fight crime. Bill Johnstone also played Lamont Cranston along with John Archer and Brett Morrison, and Margot Lane was the only person who knew his true identity, except for all of the radio listeners. And the show lasted till 1954, and Orson Welles stars in this episode called The Tomb of Terror. Let's go back to June 19th, 1938. Here's part one now of The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Thank you.
shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Tomb of Terror.
And so, gentlemen, we are gathered here on the grounds of the City Museum to pay tribute to those who have successfully brought to this country the building that stands before you, the authentic tomb of the Egyptian pharaoh, King Khufratep. It is my pleasure to present to you now the man who is largely responsible for its discovery, transportation, and reassembly, the director of the expedition, Dr. Romney Hale.
Thank you. Thank you. Directors of the museum and fellow workers, I am very grateful. It has been through your cooperation that this work has been made possible. Although perhaps we owe a vote of thanks to good King Khufratep himself. In spite of the legendary curse that all who gaze upon King Khufratep's mummy shall die, the bulk of our job is finished. Now, before you are admitted for the inspection, will you excuse Mr. Avery, Mr. Johnson, and myself while we make a brief check of the interior of the tomb? Harry, Jack, will you come with me?
Oh, surely, Doctor.
Oh, certainly, Doctor.
Well, gentlemen, how does the place look to you?
Why, Doctor, you've done an amazing job.
It looks exactly as it did when we first unearthed it in Egypt.
Thank you. Would you like to pay your respects to His Majesty?
Oh, yes. Indeed I would, Doctor.
Very well. Will you help me with the lid of the mummy case?
Oh, sure.
There you are, Khufratep the King, Lord of Egypt.
My magnificent face.
Yes, wonderfully preserved.
We are defying the ancient curse by looking upon that face.
Oh, come, Dr. Hale, surely you don't believe
this. Look. Look at the mummy's eyes.
Why, that's strange. They seem to glow.
Yes, I see it too, a sort of unearthly light.
What is this, Doctor, a trick?
No, gentlemen, I give you my word, I don't know what it could be.
The light's growing brighter.
I don't like this. It's uncanny.
Close that case.
Let's get out of here, Doctor.
I can't understand it. If we hadn't all seen it, I would... Oh!
What the hell? What's the matter?
Take his arm, Jack. Let's get him outside.
Where did you... What's wrong? What's the matter with Dr. Hale?
I don't know. He suddenly collapsed. He was...
Jack, what's the matter with you? Someone get a doctor, quick. These two men are very ill. Harry, what happened in there?
Well, Mr. Rafferty, I was...
Harry!
Catch him, he's falling.
Harry, here, man, tell me, what happened?
Mr. Rafferty, it was... The eyes. The eyes.
Yes, yes.
It's King Khufratep's curse.
Doctor, tell me, how are they?
All three of these men are dead.
Hold those fences.
What do you got, Chief?
A terrific yarn. Dr. Romney Hale, the archaeologist, and two of his assistants died mysteriously an hour ago in King Khufratep's tomb. Play up the curse angle and spread it for all it's worth.
Dried soup, cream on a side.
Some of those donuts, too, please.
Oh, donuts? Lamont, do you suppose we can dunk?
Certainly, Margot. Lunch wagon etiquette not only allows dunking, it encourages it.
There's your donuts, Chief. That'll be 20 cents.
Here you are. Let's keep the change.
All right, thanks. Say, bud, is there anything new on them guys that kicked off over at that coffee, the kipper, you know, that Egyptian king?
No, nothing new.
Hey, how about my ham on rye?
Right with you.
Just what do you make of that tomb affair, Lamont?
It's most amazing, and the newspapers are playing up the superstition fallacy.
You don't think that all three deaths were due to coincidence?
Hard as that, but I certainly don't hold to the Khufratep curse theory.
But something strange must have happened in that tomb.
Unquestionably.
According to the newspaper reports, one of the three men before he died was heard to mutter something about eyes, terrible eyes. And his last words were King Khufratep's curse.
They were undoubtedly terrified by something they saw in there. Did not die of fear.
Oh, I know. According to the doctors, they all died natural death.
Yes, that's quite true.
One of pneumonia, one of typhoid, and one of heart disease.
That's the way the doctors had to write their death certificates. Perhaps when the truth is known, they'll have to be changed.
Changed? Well, what do you mean, Lamont?
You finished eating?
Oh, yes.
Shall we take a walk?
Oh, all right, let's go.
Good night, boss.
Good night.
Good night. Lamont, what did you mean that death certificates will have to be changed?
Three men do not die within seconds of one another of different diseases without a single underlying cause.
Oh, that's true.
Margot, the mysterious death of those three men has challenged the imagination of the Shadow. I must find out the medical details of the deaths of those men.
Then you think there's more in it than the papers have printed?
I know there is.
I can get those details for you.
Good. As soon as you have the necessary information, communicate with me. The Shadow will await your call. Hello?
Lamont, this is Margot.
Oh, yes, Margot. To find out.
I just talked to Dr. Burley, he's in charge of the case.
Yes?
He said that the three men actually died, as the paper said, but there was one detail that was not printed.
What is that?
Well, the doctors themselves don't seem to understand it, but an examination of the victim's blood has shown in each case a complete absence of leukocytes.
Leukocytes? Yeah. Those are white corpuscles.
Yes.
Do you realize what that means? Without white corpuscles in the blood, the human system would have nothing with which to combat disease. No wonder they died. Margot, this is the first key to the mystery. Perhaps the Shadow can find the answer to the next question within the museum walls.
I tell you, we must go through with the public opening of the tomb, as originally planned.
But will the public be there?
We'll have to take that chance.
Gentlemen, I wish we had never started this project.
Now, see here, Kent, you've been acting like an old woman about this whole thing.
But, Mr. Rafferty, I...
We've poured thousands of dollars of the museum's money into the tomb. And it's up to us to dispel this nonsense about the Kupertep curse.
I am not so sure that it is nonsense.
Rubbish.
Oh, you can't dismiss the fact that three men died.
They all died natural deaths.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, Mr. Rafferty.
Who's speaking?
Who is that?
I am called the Shadow.
The Shadow?
What's it? I've heard of you. What do you want of us?
I've been investigating the deaths of your three colleagues. I've come to warn you that no one must be permitted within the walls of the tomb.
Hmm. Why do you say that?
Because anyone who enters may not come out alive.
Are you implying that there is truth in the Kupertep curse?
I am telling you, Mr. Rafferty, I have reason to believe that the name of the curse of Kupertep is cold, premeditated murder.
Nonsense, nonsense.
Not nonsense, Mr. Stevenson.
With all respect to your unsolicited information, we are not going to be intimidated by an unknown voice.
Speak for yourself, Mr. Stevenson. I am inclined to respect the Shadow's warning.
Quiet, Kent. On what grounds, Shadow, do you base your statement?
I have to accept what I've said on faith.
I've had enough of this.
Wait, Mr. Stevenson. We may learn more.
No. I'm going to rid us of this hocus-pocus once and for all.
Yes. What do you propose to do, Stevenson?
I'm going into that tomb tonight, right now.
Don't do that, Mr. Stevenson.
I know what I'm doing, Shadow. Well, who'll accompany me? Don't tell me that you're all afraid.
Why, no, not at all. But perhaps none of us should be too hasty.
Very wisely spoken, Mr. Rafferty.
Very well. Then I shall go alone.
You are very foolhardy, Stevenson.
We shall see. Who has the key to the tomb?
I have, Mr. Stevenson, but...
Now, give it to me.
Mr. Rafferty, can't you persuade him to change his mind?
Don't you think, Stevenson,
Kent,
we might...
give me the key.
Very well. Here you are.
Thank you.
Now, wait. We'll accompany you to the door of the tomb.
All right.
You may be going to your death, Stevenson.
I'll chance that. Come along, men. Well... here we are. Have any of you changed your minds? Mr. Rafferty?
No, thank you.
Hawkins?
I prefer to wait outside.
I know. There's no use asking you, Kent.
Don't go in there, Mr. Stevenson. Don't go in. There may be something horrible waiting for you in there.
Give me that flashlight. I'll find that out for myself.
He's in the tomb.
Nothing horrible has happened in here yet.
Don't touch the mummy case.
Why not? Might as well make the investigation complete.
Don't, Stevenson. You mustn't. Can't any of you stop him.
What can we do?
I'm opening the mummy case.
We've got to get him out of there. I'll go myself.
Here, come back here, Kent.
Stevenson! I'm looking at the mummy's face. Hey, that's strange. There's something peculiar here.
Come away from that mummy, Stevenson.
Kent! Stevenson, I insist that you both come out of there at once.
But there's something here that I don't understand. There seems to be... Kent, help me.
It's happened. He's choking.
Kent, bring him out here.
I'm trying to. Here. All right, Stevenson. Here, now just lean on me.
Stevenson. Man, what happened?
Yeah. I looked at Kufra. Oh. He's dead. He's dead.
It's not possible.
The Shadow was right.
Yes, gentlemen. Stevenson ignored my warning. He's perished. This should convince all of you that there is a ruthless killer masked behind the Kufratep curse.
That's definitely an organ, Lisa, right there.
Which one?
No doubt, right there. There's an organ.
Which organ?
That's the Tomb of Terror, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston, alias the Shadow. We'll get back to it. We're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We do have a text in line if you want to chat with us via text, 312-981-7200. And we are tuning in to The Shadow, Lisa Wolf. You like Orson Welles as The Shadow, right?
Oh, The Shadow knows.
I'm like Lamont Cranston, and you're like the lovely Margot Lane.
Hey, you know what? That is the highest of compliments.
You know, Agnes Moorhead is Margot Lane. And in this show, there's a Tomb of Terror. That's the name of the show. And when people open the tomb, they die. So let's get back to this Halloween program. Let's go back to June 19th, 1938 for the conclusion to The Shadow.
Margot, what did you learn about Stevenson's death?
Well, Lamont, the doctors officially called it influenza.
What about the blood test?
It was the same as the others. The white corpuscles had been destroyed.
Just as I thought. That proved that Stevenson was murdered, too, and by the same instrument.
But, Lamont, what can that instrument be?
It may be a serum, poison gas, I don't know. More important than the killing device is to find the killer's motive.
You found out something, Lamont?
Not exactly, but I saw a man at the museum about whom I should like to know more.
Who is he?
Aldous Kent, an assistant curator. I'm sure that he has more knowledge of this affair than he allows himself to show.
Why do you suspect him?
For several reasons. His apparent concern for Stevenson's safety was a bit overdone. For a scientist, he was surprisingly naive about the Kufratep curse, and most important, in spite of his outward fear, he followed Stevenson into the tomb. I'd like to know more about that man, Margot. And that's where you can help me.
Yes, Lamont, but how?
By visiting Kent as a newspaper woman. Interview him about his career. Find out whether he's interested in any branch of science other than archaeology. Well, Margot?
I saw Aldous Kent.
Yes?
He hasn't always been an archaeologist. He worked at many things.
For instance?
Well, before he went to work for the museum, he was employed as an assistant by Dr. Faber. You know, the well-known biologist.
Very interesting, Margot. I think that's all I'll have to know.
But Lamont, does that have any bearing on the murders?
It may have everything to do with them. I'll be able to answer that question after the Shadow pays a call on Dr. Faber.
Dr. Faber.
Mm-hmm. Eh? What? Who's that?
Don't be startled, Dr. Faber.
Who are you?
I am the Shadow.
Are you in this room? I can't see you.
I regret that I must remain in the shadows.
What do you want?
I am seeking information.
Well?
I would like to have you tell me what you know of Aldous Kent.
Kent? Aldous Kent? Well, he worked for me. He was my assistant for several years.
Yes, I know that, Dr. Faber. What kind of a man was he?
Very efficient laboratory man.
Why did he leave your employ?
Well, frankly, because he was dissatisfied. Kent was a very moody man. He felt that his work should be more fully recognized.
What sort of work did he do?
He was active in all the routine laboratory experiments.
Can you recall what some of those experiments were?
Well, let me see. Well, he made some really brilliant contributions to our work with the Roentgen ray. That's the X-ray, of course.
Yes, I know. Exactly what were those experiments?
We were varying the ray to determine its effect on animal life.
What was that effect?
Well, at one stage of the game, it was destructive. We developed a ray that was capable of destroying the white corpuscles in the blood of the laboratory animals.
It's enormously interesting, Doctor. Tell me, does such a ray have the same effect on human beings?
Oh, yes, yes, it probably does.
Thank you, Dr. Faber. You have given me the solution to the mystery of the Kufratep curse.
I feel certain, Margot, that the machine of death is concealed somewhere within Kufratep's tomb.
But why must you go there tonight?
Because I can investigate without danger of interference, and there's no time to be lost.
Well, can't you confront Kent with the information you already have?
No, Kent's a clever man. Might give him time to destroy the evidence. We could pin nothing on him.
Yes, I see.
If I can uncover the deadly ray and positively identify Kent with it, he can be tricked into capture.
Here's the museum.
You turn in this driveway. It's a precaution. I'll switch off the headlights.
Lamont, I hate to have you going into that tomb alone. It's an eerie-looking place.
No, nothing will happen to me.
Yes, that's what the others thought.
The others weren't aware of the real danger, as I am. Hand me the flashlight, Margot.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Wait, what's that over there among the trees?
Appears to be someone carrying a lantern.
He's approaching the tomb. Lamont, who can it be?
Wait. I think I recognize him. Yes. The old watchman.
Oh. Shall you wait now until he goes?
I'm not sure that he's going. He seems to be entering the tomb.
Lamont, isn't it strange after all that's happened that he should dare to enter there alone?
Very strange, and I'm going to find out why. I don't need this flashlight, Margot.
What are you going to do?
It is the shadow who will enter that tomb for a little conversation with the old watchman.
Shall I wait for
him? No, take the car and return home. Stand by for the shortwave wireless. I may need your help in communicating a message of vital importance.
Good evening, Your Imperial Majesty. I've come again to see that you are resting well. Your work is nearly done. Only one more to gaze into your eyes. And then the vengeance is complete.
You have served me well.
Who speaks?
Who indeed would speak within the resting place of the king?
Are you the...
Yes. It is I, Khufratep, Pharaoh of Egypt.
Oh, Your Majesty.
Rise up. You need not kneel in my presence.
Yes, Your Highness.
Do not tremble. You have nothing to fear.
You are not angry?
Angry? Why should I be angry toward one who serves my interests? I have come to reward you.
Do reward me?
Yes. But first, I must have an accounting.
Well, what do you mean?
You must tell me how you brought death to the defilers of my tomb by the curse which bears my name.
Oh, the credit is not mine, Your Majesty.
Whose then?
Aldous Kent.
Aldous Kent? Why should he concern himself with me?
It is not your vengeance alone that he seeks, but his own as well, and mine. Kent is a great man, but no one will recognize him. They keep him slaving in the museum day after day, doing all the real work. Well, some others get the glory, just as they did to me. And now he's evening his score. Hale, Avery, Johnson, Stevenson, all those have paid for their stolen fame. But one more must die. Hawkins. And then Kent will achieve the position that is rightfully his.
Do you know how Kent destroyed those men?
Of course. I helped him, Your Majesty. Yeah, it was clever. So clever. They all scoffed at the legend of your curse, but it was really you who killed them.
I killed them?
No one would dream that within your mummy there lies concealed the generator of the ray.
What ray?
The ray that shines from your eyes and destroys all who look upon you.
Show me how this is done.
It's so easy, Your Majesty. Hidden here in the wall is a switch. You see? It is thrown like this. Then whoever approaches the mummy case, as I'm doing, and lifts the lid, so, and gazes into your eyes, the gleam of death shines upon them. Oh, what have I done? I didn't mean to look. I couldn't. Save me.
Save you.
I cannot save you. Your own evil knowledge has destroyed you. But by your death, you have pointed the way to Aldous Kent's undoing. Margot Lane, communicate with Rafferty, the director of the museum, at once. Tell him to arrange the public opening of the tomb tomorrow as planned. Be sure that both Kent and Hawkins will be there. This is important, Margot. Tell Rafferty that he must follow my directions implicitly. A man's life is at stake.
Before admitting the public, I have invited you, gentlemen of the press, gather here to dispel once and for all this nonsense about the legend of the Cooper-Tep curse.
Well, just how do you propose to do that?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Burke, as you know, the tradition is that everyone who looks at the face of the mummy dies.
Sure, I know that.
I know that.
Now, this is Mr. Hawkins, gentlemen. He is the sole survivor of the Cooper-Tep expedition.
Yeah, we know Hawkins.
He has volunteered to show you that there is no truth in the stories that your newspapers have played into national prominence.
What's he going to do?
The mummy case will be opened in your presence, and Mr. Hawkins will personally gaze on Cooper-Tep.
Now, this ought to be good.
Are you ready, Mr. Hawkins?
Well, I...
Very well, you may proceed.
Mr. Rafferty,
Go ahead, Hawkins.
Mr. Rafferty, I can't. I've changed my mind.
What? But, Mr. Hawkins, do you realize what this means?
Yes, Hawkins, you must go through with it. Well,
I'm afraid not, Kent. I've lost my nerve.
But the prestige of the museum is at stake.
Well, you seem to have changed your attitude, Kent.
Well, I disapproved of this plan at the beginning, but as long as you've gone this far, I think you should carry it out.
Well, Kent is right.
Well, I'm sorry, but, well, when I think of the others, what happened to them, and seeing them die, I just can't.
Well, boys, looks like the show's over. Let's go.
Wait, gentlemen, don't leave. Now, Mr. Hawkins, if I volunteer to look on the mummy's face first, will you follow me?
Well, I...
That's certainly fair enough, Hawkins.
Very well.
Have I your permission to open the mummy case, Mr. Rafferty?
Yes, you have.
You're very brave, Mr. Kent.
Who's that?
It's the Shadow.
The Shadow? Boy, what are you on this is going to be?
Shadow, why are you here?
I anticipated your performance, Mr. Kent, and I came to see that it was carried out properly.
What do you mean by that?
Before you proceed, I suggest that somebody throw the switch sealed in the carving on the wall.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do know, Mr. Kent. I want your demonstration to duplicate Hale's, Stevenson's, and the others. The switch was thrown then.
Oh, this is absurd.
Here it is. I found the switch.
Please turn it on, Mr. Rafferty.
There you are. It's on.
Good. Now you may continue your little performance, Mr. Kent.
This whole thing is ridiculous. I refuse to be made a fool of.
Are you trying to back out, Kent?
I will not continue under these conditions.
I thought you wouldn't. You know that to look on the mummy's face when the switch is on would mean death.
That is not true.
But it is. And no one should know better than you. Concealed within that mummy is a murderous ray. That ray is your own conception.
That's a lie. There is no ray.
Then why don't you look on Cooper-Tep now?
Because I...
Then you shall be forced to do so.
Oh, no, no.
Rafferty, Hawkins... Leave the mummy case.
Come on, Kent.
I won't. Let go, man. Let go.
Somebody left the lid of the case.
Let go. I won't look.
Now, Aldous Kent, stare long into the eyes of Cooper-Tep. You see the evil light that glows within them? That's what the others saw.
No. I did it. I killed them, I confess. I killed them, but don't make me look at it.
Dead.
Then it's true. There is a ray.
Not any longer, gentlemen. I removed the machinery that generated that ray. All that you have just seen was carefully staged to trap Aldous Kent. He is dead. He died of fear. Fear of the thing which he himself created. You have all witnessed the end of the curse of Cooper-Tep. A curse which fell justly on the true desecrator... the tomb.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine, now on sale at your local newsstand.
Ha, 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 ha
weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
All the names have been changed to protect the innocent, Lisa.
Oh, I understand that, Carl.
You know what that's
always,
all about,
I always
right?
I do the same thing.
Being the criminal that you are.
Oh, you never know.
That's The Shadow, June 19th, 1938, The Tomb of Terror, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston with Margot Lane is Agnes Moorhead on there. And then also in the cast, very good cast of characters, Edwin Jerome, Arthur Vinton, and Paul Stewart, and Kenny Delmar. Kenny Delmar was, I say, boss. He was Senator Claghorn on the Fred Allen Show. And Ken Roberts doing the announcing for Mutual. Hope you enjoyed The Shadow. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Roger. I am now putting on my disco uniform.
It's a uniform.
It's a
now.
Disco outfit.
I think that's what you should be for Halloween. You should be John Travolta for Halloween.
Putting on my platform shoes.
Because you have all of the accoutrement to my, John Travolta.
My Italian
your
horn.
Italian horn. Your white.
Which I gave to a girl. She dated me for about 2 days and never gave it back. That girl's out there somewhere. She has my Italian horn.
Do you
I'd like
who it
back.
Is?
I can't remember her name, okay. Actually. She must not have made that much that strong of an impression on me, Lisa.
She probably doesn't remember your name.
She
either,
probably
Carl.
Doesn't, but she still has my Italian horn.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wear my white and
white
brown
one-piece.
White
leisure suit.
Very silky suit. What do you think of that, Elif? Does that sound good?
I think that's a really good idea.
That's pretty smoking.
What color?
It's like white and brown.
He just said white and brown.
Yeah, white and brown. With brown disco pants and also the disco shoes.
The imagery is very clear.
Yeah.
How high are the heels again?
6 inches.
That's it?
Yeah. That makes me 5 foot tall then.
Air a little light up there?
yeah, it's light.
You know what? He can joke about it, but if I do it, he gets pretty angry. So I'm going to let him joke, just tease himself, and I'll just stay quiet.
Well, we are playing Halloween shows all the way through the end of October, and it seems like people like it. They're texting us and telling us that they like the scary shows.
But although, they're all in fun. I mean, they're not all the same type. This next one, My Favorite Husband, is a comedy, yet it's in the Halloween theme.
Right.
And My Favorite Husband is my favorite radio show, so I'm really excited about
it. We want to make Lisa happy.
Right.
So we have a My Favorite Husband coming your way. It's called the Halloween Surprise Party, starring Lucille Ball and Richard Denning, along with Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet in there, sponsored by Jell-O. That's coming your way in this hour. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress's voice stars...
Hello.
I'll start over. This actress's voice stars in the animated comedy Sing, about a koala who drums up business for his theater by hosting a singing competition.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
A $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nottis.
All right. Here's a hint. This actress is the star of Wild.
I've been dreaming of Snapple lemonade and potato chips.
312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play it one more time.
I've been dreaming of Snapple lemonade and potato chips.
Oh, I love potato chips.
This girl.
I'm shocked because you usually don't want to date anybody.
I definitely would date
this
her.
One. We've got Sue on the line from Chicago. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Real good. How
Hi,
are
Sue.
You?
Very well, thank you.
Good, you recognize that actress's voice.
I believe it's Reese Witherspoon.
It is Reese Witherspoon. You are, yay, you're a winner, Sue. We are so thrilled to give you a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my personal favorite. I had it for dinner last night. So you can check out their menu online at loumelnattis.com and visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. We hope you enjoy the pizza, and we hope you'll stay with us till the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So
and of Thanks, course, Sue. We'll be back tonight at 11 o'clock with a whole new show.
Yeah, we're going to play tonight when we come back here at 11. It's Academy Award Theater, Baby Snooks and Daddy, and the Hall of Fantasy. Three more shows with a Halloween theme. But right now it's time for My Favorite Husband. This was a situation comedy series that premiered in 1948, and it starred Lucille Ball and Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, a married couple billed as two people who live together and like it. George was a banker, and Liz was his happily married housewife. Now, Gail Gordon, who was Lucille Ball's foil for many, many years, was George's boss, Rudolph Atterbury, and Bea Benaderet, who was the voice of Betty Rubble on The Flintstones, played Atterbury's wife. You'll hear both of them on this show. Ball refused to transition this series to TV, even though CBS wanted them to. She said, "I won't do it without Desi," her husband in real life. And later they reworked the concept into I Love Lucy. And My Favorite Husband did come to TV, though, in 1953, starring Joan Caulfield and Barry Nelson. It ran three seasons, where I Love Lucy would become one of the greatest comedy shows in TV history.
Definitely.
So it's time now for a Halloween show on My Favorite Husband. Let's go back to October 28th, 1949. For the Halloween surprise party, here's Lucille Ball in part one of My Favorite Husband.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts. And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers, it's late afternoon, and George Cooper is on his way home from the bank. He just got his car out of Miller's garage, where he left it to be overhauled, and is on his way to Sally's beauty parlor, where he left his wife, Liz, to be overhauled. He pulls to a stop by an attractive girl standing on the corner.
Going my way, baby?
Oh, hi, George.
I didn't know it was you, Liz.
Oh, George, you've pulled that same corny gag every time you pick me up for the last 10 years.
Well, it always gets a rise out of you.
Well, not today.
Hey, come on, get in.
Well, I'm trying.
What are you doing, Liz? You can't open the door with your elbows. Use your hands.
I can't. My nail polish isn't dry. Oh, I can't do it. Well, you're certainly being a big help.
Well, I'm thinking. Try using your teeth.
Oh, skip it. You just drive on home, and I'll run along behind you. A breeze will dry my polish.
Oh, I'm just kidding you, honey. Here, I'll open the door.
Well, thank you. You know, George, before we were married, you would have leaped out of the car, sprinted around to the other side, and swung open the door for me.
Well, that was 10 years ago. If I did that today, I'd have a heart attack.
You did that the day I'd have a heart attack.
Well, you're in a good mood.
Oh, I'm sorry, George, but while I was in the beauty parlor, Sally told me some very disturbing news.
Oh, there's a strike in the henna factory.
No, it was really serious. Now, who do you think is giving a party and hasn't invited us?
Elsa Maxwell?
Oh, if you're going to be smart, Alecky, I won't tell you.
Okay.
I mean it. I won't tell you.
No, okay, by me.
Begging will get you nowhere. Well, all right, I'll tell you. The Atterberries are having a costume party Halloween night, and they didn't invite us.
What?
It's true, so help me.
Oh, I don't believe it. Who told you a thing like that?
Sally, my beauty operator.
Oh, well, I might have known. How does Sally find out everything?
I don't know. I think she has a wire recorder hidden in the hairdryer. But she's always right.
Oh, ridiculous. What reason would the Atterburys have for not inviting us to their party?
Well, I thought you might know. Is everything all right at the bank?
Well, certainly. Oh, this doesn't make sense. We probably just haven't received our invitation yet. It'll be there in the morning mail.
Well, if it isn't, I know what I'm going to do.
What?
I'm going to RSVP without being A-S-K-E-D.
Liz, come and eat breakfast and stop looking for the mailman. You're pushing your nose all out of shape against the window.
No, I'm not, George.
No, I'm not, George. Why doesn't that mailman come?
Well, maybe because it's only 8 o'clock in the morning.
But Mr. Negley's usually here by this... Oh, I know the answer. It's Katie's day off. He starts at the other end of the route when she's not here to give him his breakfast coffee.
Smart operator. Say, how's Katie doing with him? Making any headway?
Oh, yes. She's gotten him to the lap-sitting stage.
No.
Yep. He finally agreed to sit on her lap.
He sits on her lap?
Well, he's so small, George. She'd squash him. Oh, darn it. Where is he? This is our last chance. If that invitation doesn't come this morning, we'll know the Atterburys deliberately snubbed us.
Look, Liz, if the Atterburys want to give a party and not ask us, it's their business. They probably have a very good reason.
There couldn't be any good reason for not asking us. We're their closest friends. They couldn't do a thing like that to us.
Well, we've given parties without asking them.
That was different. I had a very good reason.
All right, I can't argue with that kind of feminine logic. Anyway, you only have a beauty operator's rumor that they're giving a party at all.
Oh, no. No, I checked on it. I had Katie call the Atterbury's maid last night, and they are having a party.
Well, I don't understand it.
Oh, Mr. Wood's out raking his lawn. I'm going out and ask him if he's seen Mr. Negley.
Yeah, but your breakfast is getting cold.
Well, I'm not hungry. Hello, Mr. Wood.
Oh, morning, Mrs. Cooper.
Mr. Wood, have you seen the mailman?
No, and I've been out here an hour.
An hour?
Oh, yes. I like to be out of the house while my wife serves breakfast to our 11 children.
Oh, that must be quite a sight.
It's like feeding time at the zoo.
Oh, you're just saying that. I'll bet they're perfect little angels.
Mrs. Cooper, have you ever been in on an 11-way fight with breakfast foods?
Oh, now, Mr. Woods, you don't mean that they throw food.
All I can tell you is that our dining room is decorated in early American oatmeal. You want to come in and see for yourself?
Yes, I'd love to. You're always telling me wild stories about your family. Oh, there's Mr. Negley down at the corner. I'll see you later, Mr. Wood.
Goodbye, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, Mr. Negley! Oh, Mr. Negley, am I glad to see you.
Really? Well, I always look forward to seeing you, too.
Well, thank you. May I have our mail, please?
Is Katie home?
No. May I have our mail, please?
You know, Mrs. Cooper, I like Katie. Someday, if things go well, maybe she'll let me put my stamp on her envelope.
Mr. Negley, will you give me our mail, please?
I'd love to change her zone number to mine. But she's really too good for me. She's first-class matter.
Yes, could I have...
She's better than that. She's airmail special delivery.
Well, I'm sure she is.
Registered.
Look, Mr. Negley, someday I hope you and Katie settle down and raise a lot of little postcards. But right now, will you please give me our mail?
Oh, yes, I have a letter for you here somewhere. Oh, here it is.
I'll take it. Oh.
Well... You see, Grabby? You've only got half of it. It served you right.
Well, this might be it. Let's see. You are cordially invited. Quick, what does the other half say?
To bring your car home for service.
Great. Isn't there another letter for us?
No, that's all.
Maybe you made a mistake.
Please. There isn't a man in postal service who sorts his mail more carefully than Harrison Q. Negley.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, let me take a look. Maybe it's stuck down there someplace.
Take your hands off my mail bag.
Mr. Negley, this is more important than you think.
You're tampering with the U.S. mail.
Oh.
Now look what you've done. I'm all unsorted. And heaven knows what you've done to my fragiles. Oh, why didn't I stay in Puzzle Pose?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Negley. I thought sure I'd get a letter from Mrs. Atterbury. Here, I'll help you sort
them. No, no, just leave me alone. And if you're talking about Mrs. Atterbury's party, I delivered those invitations last week, and you didn't get one, and I'm glad. Do you hear me? Glad?
Well, Rudolph, curiosity is about to kill a cat. Guess who just called on the phone?
Who, Lotus Bud?
Liz Cooper. She and George are down at the corner drugstore, and they want to drop by.
Oh, Iris, I wanted to watch television.
Well, you can't. They're coming over.
You mean I have to miss Hopalong Cassidy? This may be the night he gets killed.
I guarantee he won't. Now, they'll be here any minute. Help me pick up the papers on the floor. And remember, not a word about the Halloween party.
Well, don't worry about me. I'm not the blabbermouth in this family.
Well, I can't wait to see their faces when they find out we're giving a surprise Halloween party for them.
Yeah, and at their house. Does everyone know what to do?
Sure. We're meeting at Cooper's side door at 8:30 and sneaking in through the kitchen. And then when they... There they are. Now remember, don't even mention Halloween. Liz girl, George boy.
Hi, Iris.
George boy, Liz girl.
Hi, folks.
Well, I hope you don't mind that we came over without an invitation.
Oh, that's all right. What's new, Liz?
Oh, nothing. What's new with you?
Nothing.
Oh.
How about you, Rudolph? Rudolph?
Yes, Hopalong? I mean, no, nothing new with me.
Nothing new with me either.
Nobody asked you. Speaking of the holiday weekend, what are you folks going to do?
What holiday weekend?
Monday is Halloween.
Rudolph!
Hmm?
Monday is Halloween!
No!
Yes. Halloween, when people give parties and everybody comes in costume and you invite your best friends.
Huh. Sounds like fun.
It's too bad someone isn't giving a party.
Oh, Liz.
Yes?
There's something I've been meaning to ask you.
Yes?
Are you doing anything?
No, not a thing. We'd love to come. What time?
8 o'clock.
Fine.
8 o'clock Wednesday morning, we start collecting newspapers for the Salvation Army.
Oh.
Come on, Liz. We'd better go.
Wait a minute, George. It's for such a worthy cause, Iris. Let's not wait till Wednesday morning. Let's start sooner. Say, Monday night?
Well, I'd like to, dear, but...
Would you like an ashtray for that butt, darling?
My mother isn't feeling well, and we're having dinner with her, yes.
Yes. Yes, we always spend Halloween with the old witch.
Rudolph!
Well, I'm only trying to help.
Don't bother. We don't have to have a brick Atterbury fall on us to get the idea. Come on, George. Good night. Well, George, now, are you satisfied?
You were right, Liz. I can't get over it. I don't know what to do.
Well, I do. While they're having their party, we'll soap their windows and kick over their garbage can.
And stick a pin in their doorbell.
No, I have a better idea, George. We'll give our own Halloween party and invite everyone but the Atterburys. There's not room in this town for both of us, George. The Atterburys must go.
That's the first portion of My Favorite Husband Halloween show from October 28th, 1949. We'll get back to it in a few minutes, but first these words. Hey, Lisa, see what I got right here?
I sure do, Carl. That's Remind Magazine.
Remind Magazine. I write for this magazine. I write an article about radio, the nostalgia. This is a nostalgia magazine. It's terrific. Folks, you should check this out. Go to remindmagazine.com. And my article for the October issue is all about Boris Karloff and his radio work. He did quite a bit of radio performances. Of course, he was a busy movie star, but he did radio. And my article, which is called Radio 360, always talks about the radio side of an actor's career. But this this magazine is chock full of all kinds of fun nostalgia, crossword puzzles, and articles about the past. It really is a blast from the past. It's called Remind Magazine. And you can buy this magazine at Barnes & Noble's all across the country. But if you go to their website, because I write for this magazine, they have extended an offer to all of our listeners that you can order it at 60% off the newsstand price. So just go to remindmagazine.com to learn more about it. Hope you'll subscribe. I think you'll really enjoy Remind Magazine. And I think you'll really enjoy the conclusion now of My Favorite Husband.
Coopers. There's a certain party in Sheridan Falls who is upset because she hasn't been invited to a certain party. If Liz only knew that the certain party is a surprise party for her, she'd be the most surprised party of all. Well, Liz is determined to get even, so right now she's busy inviting all her friends to an opposition party that she's giving.
Hello, Mary. Liz Cooper. We're giving a Halloween party tomorrow night, and we wondered if you... What? Oh, your mother's sick? Well, some other time. Goodbye.
How are you doing, Liz?
If the next three couples can come, we'll have six people at the party.
That doesn't sound like much of a party.
Well, we can keep moving and make it look like a crowd. Hello, Betty Ray? Liz Cooper. We're giving a party tomorrow night and... Oh, you can't? Oh, she is. Well, goodbye. And tell your mother I hope she feels better. Bye.
Another refusal.
I don't get it. That makes the 14th one. There must be an epidemic of sick mothers. Well, I'll keep trying. Somebody's mother has to be healthy. I never heard of... Hello, Margaret. Liz Cooper. I wondered if you and Hans could... Oh, you couldn't? I didn't even ask you yet. Oh, you heard. Oh, your father's sick. Too bad. Well, bye, Margaret.
Well, at least she's different. Her father's sick.
I'll bet he caught it from someone's mother.
Don't you care, honey. You and I will have our own little party right here.
George, something awful is wrong. Our best friends all turned us down. All of them.
Well, forget it, baby. We'll take a course at Arthur Murray's and be successes again.
Oh, it isn't funny. We're social misfits. We're being shunned by society.
Oh, now let's not get carried away.
Well, it's true. First the Atterberries and then all our other friends making excuses and acting funny. And that's not all.
What do you mean?
Even the birds have left our birdhouse.
They always go south this time of year.
But this year they went early. George, there's something horrible the matter with one of us.
One of us?
Yes, and I know it isn't you. Because you're just as wonderful as you've ever been. It's me, and I'm holding you back.
Oh, now, Liz, now don't talk like that.
George, you're my best friend. Is there something even you haven't been able to tell me? Have I been careless about the little things?
Well, now that you mention it, there is something I noticed.
What?
You've only been taking 30 seconds for your 60-second workout.
Oh, George. How can you make jokes when we're social outcasts?
Oh, well, now, honey, it isn't worth crying over.
I'm not crying. I don't care about those people. I hate them.
Well, I'm going to call up Atterbury right now and ask him what this is all about.
No, he won't tell you. You'll be embarrassed. I know, George. I've got it. Let's go to the Atterbury's party.
Liz, have you cracked your crock?
Well, don't you see? It's a costume party, so nobody will know us, and we'll mingle with the guests and say, isn't it shocking about the Coopers? And when they answer us, we'll find out the awful truth.
You've got something there, Liz, but what kind of costume shall we wear?
Well, the way people are acting, we ought to go dressed as a couple of skunks. Faster, George. We'll be late for the party.
Well, I still don't think we ought to go. These costumes we're wearing are so silly. Two policemen's uniforms and water pistols.
Ah, you're just mad because you're a sergeant and I'm a lieutenant. Kiss me, Sergeant. That's an order.
couldn't you have gotten some other costumes?
I told you the only other thing he had left was two halves of a horse.
Well, what's the matter with that? At least it would have been unusual.
I'll say it would. They were both hind ends. George, can't you drive faster? It's bad enough to be uninvited. Let's not be late, too.
I'm doing 35.
Oops, there goes another one.
Another what?
Well, every time a car goes to pass us, the driver sees our cop costumes and slows down. We've got 15 cars lined up in back of us.
How do you like that?
Hey, let's tune in the police calls. Let's play cops and robbers. Which station is it, George?
Way down at the end there.
Oh, yeah.
Calling car 29, car 29. Investigate auto wreck at corner Elm and 8. If car not too badly damaged, make offer. The chief is looking for a used car.
Oh, great.
Watch for robberies in Northside Residential District. Thieves in costumes, crashing Halloween parties. Victims report some dressed as policemen.
Uh-oh.
And you had to pick out policemen's uniforms for us.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't like the feel of this. Let's go home.
Oh, don't be silly, George. No one will bother us.
Well, all right.
Oh. Oh, no.
All over the time.
Now what do we do? He'll think we're those crooks.
Well, don't stop. Keep on going.
Nothing doing. I'll just have to explain and hope he believes me.
No, if he doesn't, we'll miss the party. Pretend you're a real cop.
Liz.
Go ahead. Well, I won't say anything.
And why are we two holding up traffic? Oh, yeah. Excuse me, Lieutenant. I didn't see you.
Oh, that's all right.
I was speaking to the lieutenant. I apologize, Lieutenant.
That's all right, officer. Drive on, Sergeant.
Oh, Lieutenant, any further news of those masquerading crooks?
Yes. There's no truth to that report. Forget about them. Drive on, Sergeant.
Attention all cars. Keep special lookout for criminals in masquerade costumes.
Drive on, Sergeant.
Just a minute. I don't remember seeing you two on the force before.
Well, you see, we're really plain clothesmen, but our plain clothes are being cleaned.
I thought so. Let me see your credentials.
Certainly. Well, what do you know? Must have left them in my plain clothes.
That's all.
Oh, no, it isn't. Let me see your credentials.
What?
Maybe you're the fake one. I can prove I'm a real cop.
How?
I got a witness. Sergeant?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Sergeant, am I a real cop?
Yes, Lieutenant.
There you are. Drive on, Sergeant.
Just a minute. Let me see your badge.
Let me see your badge.
There.
Sheridan Falls Police Force 158. Here, take a look at mine. That's enough.
Not so fast. Well, let me see them. Post Toasties Junior G.
Well, you see, we're not local cops.
What's that Post Toasties business?
That's for my serial number.
You're coming with me.
Oh, you really fixed this up, Liz.
He'll never take us alive, George. I still got my gun, one squirt for each of us.
Come on, out of the car.
Oh, look, officer, we're not crooks. My name is George Cooper. I live at 321 Bundy Drive, and I'm vice president of the Sheridan Falls National Bank. Now, if you'll just follow us home, I'll show you plenty of identification.
Well, okay, but no funny business. I'll just get in the back seat and go with you.
No, thank you.
Drive on, Sergeant.
Oh, cut it out, Liz.
Okay.
This is our house, officer.
Well, that butt up.
Hey, wait a minute. Look there at the side door. Some figures slipping into our house.
And they're in costume.
Yeah.
We found the gang.
Wait a minute. Have you led me into a trap?
No. Believe us. We don't know anything about it. Those people are crooks.
And they're robbing our house. Oh, what'll we do?
We better call the police.
Yeah, we better call the... What do you think I am, Western Union?
Well, we don't know if you're real or not.
Let's not start that again.
They'll hear us.
Well, come on. We'll catch them red-handed.
Okay.
Now, quiet, everybody. We'll sneak up to the door. Okay, now let's rush them.
All right, everybody, hands up.
Surprise! Iris! Mr. Atterbury!
Liz, girl!
Good boy!
I knew it. You're all in this together.
You mean this is a surprise party for us?
Yes. You didn't suspect a thing, did you?
Well, not a thing.
And what wonderful costumes you have.
Okay. Hands up, everybody.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Introduce us to your friend, Liz.
I can't get over it. A surprise party, and all the time we thought nobody liked us.
Listen to me. Hands up, everybody.
Look, fella, you made your entrance. The gag's over.
Oh, here we have all these wonderful friends, and we thought nobody liked us.
Hands up, please.
Look, Buster, you're overdoing your act. And take that false face off. It's horrible.
Won't anybody put their hands up? I'm going to tell my sergeant about this.
Oh, George. And we thought nobody liked us.
Yes, Lucille.
Bob, if I'm not being too personal, how many people do you think eat Jell-O puddings?
You know, I've been wondering the same thing.
You have.
How did you happen to ask me that just at this moment?
Well, I don't know. It was just the next line in my script. why don't we ask a fortune teller, Bob? My rates are very reasonable.
You, a fortune teller?
Yeah, don't tell a soul. See, my real name isn't Lucille. It's Crystal. Crystal Ball. Step right into my tent and I will tell the future for you.
Good afternoon. Are you Madame Ball?
Cross my palm with silver.
But your hand is bandaged. What happened?
My last customer crossed my palm with silver.
Well, who was he?
The Lone Ranger. What is it you wish to know? I know all. Nothing is unknown to me. Now, wait a minute. Where'd I put that crystal ball? Oh, here it is.
Tell me, madam, as you gaze into the future, do you see any Jell-O chocolate pudding, absolutely luscious with deep-down chocolatey goodness?
Well, let me take a look. Let's see. There's the results for tomorrow's races. We don't want those. The inauguration of our next president. No. Who's going to play in the Rose Bowl game? No. Nope. Nothing here about Jell-O chocolate pudding.
Well, how about Jell-O butterscotch pudding with that buttery brown sugar flavor? Or Jell-O vanilla pudding, rich and smooth as cream?
Oh, now, let me see. Aha! Are they swell desserts for the kids?
Yes.
Or do you simply add milk and they cook to velvety perfection in just about 5 minutes?
That's it?
Nope, don't see a thing about them. You forgot to cross my palm with silver.
All right, here.
Well, look at all the Jell-O puddings. Everyone's crazy about them. Old people are saying Jell-O puddings are fine. Young people are saying Jell-O puddings are great. Gay people are saying Jell-O puddings are swell.
Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O duck. Bioka puddings. Yes, sorry.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
My Favorite Husband, October 28th, 1949, their Halloween program starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning along with Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet, also Hans Conried in the cast, sponsored by Jell-O, as heard on CBS. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, when we come back tonight, Lisa, we have more Halloween programming, Academy Award Theater, Baby Snooks and Daddy, and the Hall of Fantasy. But stick around for David Plyer. He's in the house right now. Hi, David.
And you know what? Because you don't have enough time to play all that Halloween stuff, I'm even going to play a little bit of it, right?
Yeah.
I do a little suspense.
Okay.
Yeah. Little House in Cypress Canyon.
Yes.
And Sorry, Ron. I love that stuff. And I love My Favorite Husband. We were just saying that I got in the car to drive over here, and just hearing her voice on the air is fabulous. You
and
know?
It's the 65th anniversary of the series.
Yeah, I love Lucy.
Are you going to play any of Ricky?
Yeah, I've got a little later in the show at 4, I've got Keith Thibodeau, who played little Ricky, because he's really the last man standing.
That's
How
right.
How old is he now?
67.
Wow.
When you think
he
about
was a
that,
little
right?
boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
He runs a ballet company on the East Coast with his wife. That's
right.
That's what pretty much he's done for.
What else is on the show this morning?
Also, Child Star. We're going to talk, since it's Halloween, Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster.
Eddie Munster, sure.
He's in town, and he's going to be at Santa's Village for their Fables Fright Nights all month. And he's got the Munster's coach car and Grandpa's car that he's going to be showing. So very classic.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful.
You know, I'm a TV geek.
I love
so,
that show.
Yeah,
I love that show.
The slapstick kind of vaudevillian. The vaudevillian stuff is awesome.
Gosh, Fred Gwynne, he was just great on that show.
Yeah. Blackhawks goaltender Scott Darling is going to join us, along with Neil Flynn from ABC's The Middle, and he's a huge Cubs fan, so we'll talk to him. Gary Stern of Stern Pinball is coming in, and I said I've got too much stuff.
A lot of stuff.
We'll have to see how we jam that
Might have to get right into
Might not have time for news. Mm-hmm.